In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Dave Wunstead hanging out with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So, Dave, let's get back to basics. Let's talk about Thomas Brown as an offensive coordinator. He comes in. They get rid of the ball a lot faster. You saw Caleb Williams not hesitate in terms of when he took off. He saw plenty of things, and when he saw it, he took off and he got down and he got positive plays. Did you like the changes in the offense with Thomas Brown as the coordinator?
Absolutely. You know, I think we got to go back before we with Caleb, yes, but say I thought our offensive line, now that Green Bay defensive line, they got three or four first round draft picks there, guys, you know, so they're awful talented. Until the end of the game, the pressure was not a factor. So my point is that I thought that Thomas did a good job of calling plays, yes, for Caleb, and yes, we were balanced with the run and pass, but also things that our offensive line could do where those guys could be halfway successful. And we were talking last week, to me, that was the starting point. And he addressed that. He truly did. But the thing about Caleb that I liked, yes, the decisions, it was make a decision, boom, you don't like it, go. Get out of the play. Don't be getting into the second, third read because you're going to get hit. I mean, I'm sure that was the conversation. And he made a comment in his post-game press conference, Caleb Williams, and he said, you know, I think he used Keenan Allen, was going to come open on a certain play, but he wasn't, and I wasn't 100% sure, and I didn't want to wait. Where I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, he would have held that ball.
Yes.
And maybe Keenan comes open and maybe he gets hit when he throws. You don't know what's going to happen. So that was his mindset. If you're open, the ball's coming. If you're not, I'm going to try to do something on my own. I thought that was great. The second thing, I loved his body language. Did you see him coming into the huddle? I mean, that's what you want to see out of your quarterback. You want to see a quarterback. He's the only guy talking in the huddle. And when he comes in there and he's got some energy in his voice and he's got those big eyes where he's excited and let's go. That's what I saw watching the game up close, which I hadn't seen in a while. So that's a positive. And, hey, who's the best player on our offense? In my mind, everybody's got an opinion. I think it's DJ Moore.
Yep.
It's seven targets right off the bat, seven completions.
Yep.
And the last thing, and I'll shut up, is 34 runs, 31 passes. And Roshan got 10 carries. I would run him between the – and don't get into this thing. Oh, he's in there. It's a run, a pass. You can mix it up enough. But we want to have positive yards. That guy's an inside runner, and he's tough.
You mentioned Caleb Williams and his body language.
Mm-hmm.
He also apologized after Shane Waldron was fired, got in front of his teammates and apologized for his role. What does that do to a team when you have a rookie quarterback who does that? And is that something that he needed to do?
Well, I think that's a real mature thing. I mean, the easy thing to do, boy, somebody gets fired like that, is everybody just keeps their mouth shut and says, oh, boy, I mean, we're all kind of under the gun. You know, we're all being evaluated because, you know, the Bears don't make a decision like that. And I'm speaking from experience. That type of decision, okay, that goes all the way up to the top. That, I mean, that's not something that Matt Eberflus does on his own. This is from my experience here, and I don't think things have changed. Virginia and George, anything major like that, that goes all the way up the chain from Ryan Poles to Kevin Warren, and it stops with George. And, you know, so
they're paying him $5 million to go away.
Yes, so that even makes it more part of, yeah, right? That even runs it up the flagpole.
That's
even
right.
Faster.
They better sign off on that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So the point is that that was a decision that everybody, players and all coaches, that gets everybody's attention because you know that it's going all the way up to the top and nobody's happy. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think it was a positive change, David, getting back to Thomas Brown and what he did, and hopefully we can continue it, you know?
So the fact that it was the Packers, the fact that they now have dominated this rivalry, and I'm using air quotes on the word rivalry because I'm not sure the Bears are
in
a rivalry, but 11 consecutive games that the Packers have won, that Matt LaFleur has never lost to the Bears. The fact that he came out after the game, and he's a bright guy, and he knows what he's saying, and he's like, oh, yeah, Rich Bisaccia went in front of the team and said we were going to block a kick, so you knew that was going to happen. If you weren't frosted here and that, and I mean, you know how it is, Dave, you played, you coached against the Packers here, what it means to people. How can that kind of a rivalry that means so much to the organization and, you know, Lovey understood you got to get on the positive side of that one. How can it be as lopsided as it is? And doesn't that impact the family and the way they look at the coach, et cetera, whether that is amateur hour or people think it's just meatball stuff? It's a big deal to lose to your main rival as often as they have.
Yeah, I mean, it is. To McCaskey's, it definitely is. You know, and Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles and all these players, and we got a young team, they're all going to say the rivalry. And when I came here, I had guys, the Kevin Butlers and Mark Borch and Steve McMichaels, you know, the guy, yes, Richard Dent. I had guys like that on the team that had been around for years, 10 years or longer, and been in this. So I would have them get up and talk, you know. But, you know, now, I mean, it's the way things change with coaches and with players. You get a first or second year guy, sure, he's going to come on the media or on your radio and say, oh, it's a rivalry, but, you know,
it doesn't mean anything.
It's not like it is, Molly, how you appreciate it, or guys have been around it. You know, I've been around it now for 25 years. I mean, you understand the history of it and everything going in. So that part of it's a little bit different, but it's, you know, it's a division game and it's Green Bay and they're hearing this stuff. And yeah, it's,
what is changing offensive coordinators at midseason or firing one like they did due to the dynamics of a staff? Now you have every other assistant coach seeing that. You see where you are in the standings. You look at the schedule. How difficult is it for guys to do their jobs as well as they need to do their jobs, as committed as they have to be, and yet understand there's a lot of insecurity there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it all starts with the head coach. In addition to a new coordinator, you know, what's the working relationship and what's the personalities between Thomas Brown and the receiver coach or the offensive line coach? I have no idea. But that could be a little bit of a problem. I hope not. But, you know, everything is about the head coach, really, because a head coach hired you guys. And, you know, that's where your loyalty's got to be. And that's if he stays, you probably stay. That's how they got to look at it. It's not easy on the families.
There's a lot of games left, Dave. And yet, I mean, openly, the last 3-4 games on the postgame show, full phone lines, fire the coach. And you've lived through that. That is a very difficult situation for anyone to be in.
Yep.
There's time to turn it, but it's like they wasted their best opportunities to get ahead of it. Now you're in the winning portion of the schedule. Now you're in like a really tough part of the schedule. It just feels like there's a lot that has kind of loaded up on.
And I can tell you, well, when we went to the playoffs here, every season, Miami, when we won the division, Super Bowl, every place I've been, national championships, you have to have some games. Look at Green Bay's season. Green Bay won against somebody, I can't remember right now, 2 or 3 weeks ago, on a walk-off field goal, basically, at the end.
Right.
A walk-off field goal. And then they win a game here with a block field goal. You know what I mean? So at the end of the season, they're a playoff team and they're in a hunt. They're going to look back on their season. They didn't line up and bloody everybody's nose every week.
Right.
I mean, they had a walk-off win here and they had a walk-off block field goal against the Bears. And all of a sudden, you're in the playoffs, you know, and then it, who knows what happens from there.
But that's the league. The league
that's
is
the
so
league.
Week to
that's
week.
That's the league.
And it's almost impossible to lose four in a row. I'm just being honest.
You it's possible.
Well, I'm saying with the talent level that you thought was good enough.
Oh, yeah, the talent. Yeah, that's the thing that bothers me all the time. I mean, it's we do have some really good players. You know, it's unfortunate.
This segment with Dave Wannstedt, sponsored by ChicagoRoofingContractors.org, providing all weather protection for your business.
Yeah, yes. Not many free agents starting on this team, you know? No.
So Brad Biggs reported last week that the length of Matt Eberflus's contract was a 5-year deal, so it's 2 more years after this one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just an irrelevant detail? Does that matter when we're talking about what is ahead? Will that be a factor in their decision-making?
Yes. I still come back to that if Caleb can play the remainder of the season and make some headway from how he played Sunday, and how many games we got left? Nine?
No, seven.
Seven games. Okay, if we can win 3 or 4.
They're not going to the playoffs.
Okay, we're not going to the playoffs. We're not going to the playoffs. But if we could win, let's be optimistic. Let's say we won 4, okay? You know, now we're going to sit there at 8, and Caleb made headway. I think Flus comes back.
Wow.
I really do.
Let's revisit that one.
Okay, we can revisit all we want. I'm just...
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I respect where you're coming from.
I just don't know where they're winning four.
I don't know where they're winning four.
Well, I don't know either. But,
Seattle, San Francisco's 500, and their quarterback might have a knee.
I said let's be positive.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm saying.
Can they win that Shane Waldron revenge game against Seattle?
There's no revenge now.
That's right.
They're going to be laughing.
They've lost that story.
You hired him?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah.
When you look at Caleb Williams in the final stat sheet and he has 70 rushing yards, is that the good news or the bad news?
If you're Green Bay's defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, God, Caleb scrambled for 70 yards or whatever. Don't count that. They really rushed for this. But, no, it all counts. And hey, in the Super Bowl, last year or 2 years ago, one of the biggest plays was in the fourth quarter with Patrick Mahomes taking the ball and running 30 yards. Right. So you hate to admit that, and I did. I was in that same seat. You hate to admit it, but it does count, David, you know?
Yeah, I think that when I look at this team, you know, we talked about this idea that the Bears, for some reason, didn't get any pressure on Jordan Love. And if you look at how they've played against him, I believe they've hit him 6 times in 3 games and sacked him 3 times in 3 games. They didn't get any sacks this week. That's how many sacks and hits the Packers had on Caleb Williams in that game. So they've got to figure out a way of getting to and messing with the quarterback.
That's a big point. When I look back on it, I said, boy, I like the run game, you know, how they balanced that up. Yep. I liked the play action pass. I didn't see many dropbacks or a lot of positives. And defensively, probably the one thing, and you just hit it, Molly, I thought that they would pressure him more. And they did, you know, on the big pass play that Jalen got tripped up on, you know, and corners – trust me, when you blitz 5, they in their mind, they know how many rushers are coming. You ask Jalen that, I mean, he'll tell you, oh, we're rushing 3, 4, 5, 6 blitz. Because he knows in the back of his mind how quick that ball's coming
out. How long he has to cover.
You were a defensive back,
David.
How
aggressive you have to be.
That's right. You know. So he knew that was, I think it was 5, it might have been 6 guys coming. I know Edmonds came, and I don't know, Edwards may have come too, but it was a pressure. And so in the
David never slipped.
Yeah, yeah. And wait. But the point I'm trying to make is he's anticipating pressure, right?
Right.
Pressure.
And so he feels he has
so he's saying it's coming out quick.
Yes.
And guess what? We got no we got no pressure.
And the fact that he fell down, that does not happen very often.
Happens in football. But what it does is it magnifies what's not happening, and the Bears have stopped getting to the quarterback.
Yes,
and I think that
I agree.
Talk about Matt Eberflus and his job security, He's got to be a better defensive coordinator the final seven games.
Yeah, I agree.
And be the guy that saved his job last year.
Yeah, what do we have? One sack, right?
Yeah.
The whole game. Yeah.
Get to the quarterback.
No, I totally agree with that. You know, I was a little that was the one thing, if you'd say, other than the loss, what are you disappointed at? I says, I thought we'd come up with some pressures, you know, with Gordon. And I know Brisker.
Yes.
That, you know, I think they miss Brisker more than anybody wants to admit.
They do.
He was the major run stopper.
Wait,
he
was Billings, they miss him. I mean, they're Dave.
Yeah, I forgot about Billings.
They're not the entity that they were to start the season, but they've done a really good job of holding teams to field goals.
Yep.
That touchdown, that play leading to a touchdown at the end of the game, That's as much a reason as they lost as the blocked field goal.
Yeah, no, I towed a 60-yard play at the end of the game.
Man.
A 60-yard play. No, I agree. They and their red zone defense is outstanding.
And that's their closer. Jalen Johnson is the guy who is one of the
closers. He's
closer.
The closer.
I know.
Yes. He's the closer.
And you'd like to have him cover him 1,000 times.
Yes.
That doesn't happen. You know?
Dave, it's 4th and 3. The ball's at the 49-yard line. There's 4.5 minutes left to go in a game. You lead at home 19-13. You go for it or you punt?
Oh, I'm punting.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just curious. You also are you're a Bears team that
coach. I'm a
goes for it as much as any team in football except for the Cleveland Browns. You go for it or you punt?
I'm punting.
Okay. I'm just asking.
I don't, you know, the more you think about
with my defense,
that's not a good statistic. The fact that you're going for it as much as you are on fourth down indicates that either you don't have the lead or you're kind of desperate. I mean, I'm just
desperation.
Saying, that
those are desperation numbers.
That's right.
I'm not aggressive numbers.
I'm not from that coach.
I'm saying it's the right call. I would have punted too. I just think I wanted the Bears to be consistent decision makers.
You drafted that kid from down under in the fourth round.
He's so good.
Isn't he great? He's really
so good.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance. And your defense, the strength of your team is your defense. I don't know. You know, I mean, it's maybe we didn't pressure as much. I can't get that up. Maybe we, you know, with missing a corner or safety, I don't know. But there was some reason that we didn't want to be in man coverage a lot. Against Green Bay.
The pick that he threw was not
Oh, it was a zone coverage.
Yeah. But it wasn't pressure on him either.
It wasn't pressure.
He just threw a bad ball.
Let me offer this as a possibility. You're right about not being in man as much as possible. Is that a product of not having Tyrique Stevenson on the field as much as he has been? I think Terrell Smith is a good player. He's more of a zone-type corner.
Yep.
Tyrique Stevenson might be better man-to-man coverage. He has not been playing as much as 60-40 split in terms of snap count because Tyrique Stevenson is not a guy they trust as much as they used to.
Yeah, I think both those guys are very close. One's a little more physical. You're right, Terrell Smith. But I like Terrell Smith. I think he's a starting corner.
Yeah.
I think he's really good.
He's starting caliber cornerback.
Absolutely. Yep. I agree. And, you know, maybe they missed Brisker a little bit back there at the safety. How about the one long pass, guys? We got two guys. And the very first pass that they completed, the long ball.
Go up and get it.
Right, we had Gordon and the other guy.
And Hicks.
And they come down with the ball. I mean, just.
And Jordan Love threw that and because he thought something good would happen.
Yeah.
He wasn't afraid of the pick.
Right.
You can't be afraid of throwing picks.
Which, the first touchdown, wasn't that when they were offside and he got
I think he's talking about Christian Watson when he went up and got it.
Remember,
double coverage.
Yeah, the double coverage one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
I'm saying that touchdown that he threw, the first touchdown, it's like they look and they see a guy not getting off the field. They snap the ball and
that was the 12 men on the field and
that,
the offside.
They've been doing that since Favre was there.
Yeah, Favre.
Does that drive you
fire
out of your
mind? Fire alarm.
They're
good at that.
You just want to put your head in a car door and slam it several times.
Right.
Dave, we've heard from our audience one of your favorite former players. Olin Krutz weighs in. Good morning. Coach is the best, just has the wrong hoodie on. You know you're not only going against Bielema on Saturday, you're going against Olin Krutz.
Good luck with that. I gave Olin a lot of love this week, okay, because you know with the draft. You know who one of the top offensive linemen in the NFL right now is? The center from Pittsburgh, from West Virginia, they drafted in the second round, and him and the Oregon guy on a draft shows here, I was pounding the table saying, let's take a center.
How did the Steelers have two rookie linemen and win 8 games already?
So I sent it to Olin, and he says, the Bears never show any respect for centers. You know, I love him.
He's the best.
You know what? I put this on you that I did not even think about Rutgers, who they were playing this week. But
you're just loyal to your guys. You got to respect that.
Yeah, there we go.
All right. Dave, thank you. All always right. a joy. Right, really guys. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Coach.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Mully and Haw Flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
Let's be optimistic. Let's say we won 4, okay? You know, now we're going to sit there at 8, and Caleb made headway. I think Flus comes back.
Wow.
I really do.
Let's revisit that one.
Okay, we can revisit all we want. I'm just...
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. I can't even talk football right now because Brandon's playing Teddy Pendergast for me, and he's doing the head bob in there. I love
you're
this
relaxed.
Dude.
You're sitting back and you're wondering, what did he just say?
Just another love TKO.
If the Bears can find a way to win 4 games of the remaining 7,
yeah, he's
then
coming back.
I think that Dave Wanstead is right.
Well, they're probably going to win the next 2.
Then you're. Probably should go back to listening to your music because you're making no sense. I don't know how they win the next 2. I mean, there's just
really?
It's yeah. I don't see that. I don't see a path to winning 2 straight here. I don't see 4 victories left on the schedule, and I'm not trying to be negative. I'm trying to be realistic.
You know, I'm just saying the NFC West, those teams are 500. Seattle and the Niners.
They're on the road. How the Bears on the road?
I believe 0 for Sunday.
Okay. So if those teams were coming to Chicago in December, different scenario, different
especially
mindset.
If it rained a lot for the Niners game.
Well, whatever the case is, I hope, you know, look, nobody wants anybody to really get fired. I don't think that we sit around here, you know, pounding our fists and saying, you know, this guy's got to go. I think we're realistic about what is expected of NFL head coaches and how it's a results-driven business. And the results have not been good for Matt Eberflus, and it's hard for me to see him winning 4 more games.
I got to be honest with you. It's almost impossible to think about how he's lost 4 straight yet again. I mean, it is extraordinary that they have managed to lose 2 games in this losing streak on the last play of the game.
I like the word extraordinary. It's also been excruciating.
It is excruciating. That's a better definition of it.
Because those are hard to come back from.
But I mean, people wanted him gone after 1 loss because then all of a sudden the 3 victories that led to it are all under scrutiny because who did you play? But that's okay. You know, you can have a loss. 1 loss is one thing. But then to now still be on the same spiral, it is, and you know what? Tough people and tough guy, whatever he said after the game, it's all true. It's just the most hollow, empty, nonsensical garbage you're ever going to hear as football coach talk. And it's kind of, there isn't a basis to believe in much. But the reality is everybody is week to week. It's a week to week league, and things can change and things can happen. That quarterback could throw you the ball three times.
And in fairness, that's why you hear this kind of things that you continue to hear.
Yes.
The platitudes,
exactly.
The mantras.
Yes.
Because if you're in that business and you're immersed in that culture, you have to believe what you just said. It is a week-to-week league. So in their minds, Molly, you know, there's even as bad as things are at Halas Hall,
yep.
Every coach in that building goes to work tomorrow or today, game planning, and says,
"This is the day.
I can see a way that
there's
we can beat the Vikings."
Yes.
Oh, did you see that they do that? We can beat the Vikings.
Yep.
And then next week they're going to go to work. And you know what they're going to say? The Lions, they're good. They do everything well. But if we do this, they believe they can win. See, that's what bothered me about yesterday at the podium as much as anything. And that's what bothered me about the way that they approached the last sequence of plays against the Packers. Because you spend your entire careers and every waking moment on believing that you can find a way to just rationalize that you're going to win this week. And then you get into the game and then you start coaching scared. And you're like, that belief isn't there. If Matt Eberflus has said, I believe that we're going to get 5 yards on this play. I believe that we're going to put ourselves in the best position to win. I believe. No, he didn't say that.
No, he didn't.
He said, no. I'm afraid. And I think that difference is noticeable.
And we talked about it earlier, the idea that you needed a form of miracle to convert a fourth down, to convert – on third down to put you in a position where you could turn a fourth down. That probably, you know, robbed the guy. The idea that you somehow, from the sure despair of another loss, got yourself in field goal range. He just wanted to kick the field goal. Let's just get out of here. Please kick the field goal. Oh, God. Oh, no, it was blocked. Like, he didn't even think we need more yards. Wow, what are his numbers from 46 versus 45? What is it? Do you think he even knew if we can get him at the 40-yard line? He's 70 of 70. We had this argument the next day because Dustin didn't believe that you needed to get any closer.
A lot of people believe that.
You know, 46 yards. They lost a bloody Super Bowl in Buffalo. Because a guy couldn't hit, and I get it. It's 20 years later, and everybody, the distance on these field goals is outrageous. The guys can hit 60 yarders for the love of God, but this is a little feller, and he needs a lower trajectory when he's kicking from 50 versus 40. I think that's fairly obvious.
You want to put your players in the best position to succeed.
Yes,
and that's not what happened. And so we can second guess, and we can first guess, and we can scrutinize, because when you don't come through, everything is fair game. And I know we want to get back to calls. I'm going to get to it in a moment, but you said something that I think is also worth repeating for emphasis. We talked about the fourth down rate. The Bears are 15 for 23 for the 65% percent. It's second most fourth down attempts in the NFL. And I look at that. Some people may look at that and like, wow, they're being more aggressive this year. And I think you termed it probably accurately. They're being more desperate this year. That's a position of I don't know what that says, but I want to think about that more, because it's surprising to me that there aren't more teams. There's only one more team that has tried to go for it on fourth down more than the Bears.
And who's that?
The Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Another desperate team where the wheels have fallen off.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
You remember our segment with Brad Biggs?
I do remember that.
It was a fun one, and I should let you know that it's sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Do you use your Estwing hatchet? Remember?
Oh, I can't. Yeah,
we got
the hatchet. Yeah, you know, chopping wood, you run out of time. It's getting a little bit dreary outside. You don't want to chop too much wood. Yeah, I don't like chopping wood.
Oh, you love it.
Not a big wood chopper.
Don't you chop wood for the neighbors?
Exactly.
You bring over a bundle.
Hey, to your point again, the last thing I'll say in this, you mentioned the Browns.
Yeah.
They're number one. The Bears are number two. 3 and 4, Cowboys, Jaguars. So you talk about the top four teams in fourth down attempts are all teams where are experiencing disastrous seasons.
Who's fifth?
Falcons.
Okay.
Kind of up and down.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
Yeah, they're doing okay.
I think they're leading that division again.
Giants are sixth. Panthers are seventh.
The Giants and the Panthers. Come on, man. You don't want to be in that category.
You don't want to be in the top five.
No.
No. Good point. That's an excellent point.
Thank you, buddy. I'm here for you. It might not occur to me immediately, but eventually I'll double back to it. I got to tell you, I mean, you look at this season and the way things have gone, and it's difficult. Matt Eberflus gets paid a lot of money. He's got a really good job. I think he can throw a Gatsby party with the best of them. I just think that when you get to this point in a season, you had all these aspirations and hopes and dreams, and everybody, you know, you draft the quarterback, you get the receiver, you sign receivers in the offseason. It's like everything that they have done is now under scrutiny and in question. Everything they did on the offensive line all the way along under scrutiny, in question. Their decisions on the defensive line, whether they would have made a trade over here or over there. Did they need to get better at that in the draft? Whatever it may be, I think you're left now.
You lose four in a row. Everything's under question.
Everything. It is really difficult.
You can't plan for the future because you can't think beyond next week.
No, no. And that's
the one thing you have. The one thing we can all agree on. The one thing they have to prioritize. They cannot ruin Caleb Williams.
Well, and you know, frankly, it was really good to see him get the ball out. It was really good to see him not get sacked as much as he had. It didn't happen until the fourth quarter, and somehow he overcame that, and somehow it didn't matter. So it
didn't matter because he found his favorite receiver twice.
No, it didn't matter because they missed the field goal at the end.
Well,
of the
it didn't
game.
Matter because they didn't win the game, but it, yeah, you're right.
His okay. favorite receiver. Yeah, by the way, someone texted in earlier. You wondered if it's bad for the receiving corps that he referred to Rome Odunze as my guy Rome.
I didn't say it was bad for the receiving corps. Well, I wonder if anybody else noticed that.
Okay. He also said my guy Cairo. He referred to Cairo Santos as his guy.
Okay.
So who's his closer guy? Is it my guy Cairo or my guy Rome?
You know what?
Or
you know
does
what
he just you know what like place names?
You're just trying to stir things up.
He likes place names.
It doesn't
names.
Matter if he says my guy Cairo. There's not another kicker that's going to notice that. Because there's not another kicker on the team.
There's not another guy named after a city in Egypt.
No, there's not.
Nor another Italian city.
Hey, Rome wasn't built in a day.
My guy Firenze.
I never thought about that. They have a guy named Cairo and a guy named Rome.
And they're both his guy.
International team.
He loves the truth.
Bears are cosmopolitan.
Rome around the world. let's try Nick. Nick the Greek is in Northbrook. Nick.
Hey, Nick.
I think George McCaskey is the curse, and our board of directors' average age is 95. And they're the reason we stink on a constant basis because they had a chance to hire Jim Harbaugh, and look what we did. We didn't do what was right for this city. But Poles hires coaches that he can manipulate, and I have no confidence in them. In another 2-3 years, we're going to hire advisors to tell us what to do, and they hate George McCaskey, so they tell him to hire idiots. So we're going back and forth every 4 years, the same old, same old. And I believe Poles wanted to draft Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, and I have no confidence in Poles. He's made mistakes after mistakes, and they should have hired Jim Harbaugh when they had the opportunity, and look what he's doing for the Chargers. And that's it.
Thanks, Nick.
Oopa, Nick.
A lot there.
That is, I mean, there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Let's take a minute and then we can.
Yeah, we're on the record on the Harbaugh thing. The other stuff sounds like is a lot of bitterness.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think George McCaskey does have to be held accountable because a lot of things, you know, five head coaches, four general managers, and nine offensive coordinators.
He did not draft Bryce Young.
Since 2011. He traded the pick. Ryan Poles traded the pick, and that was one of the best trades ever.
Ever in the history of mankind. We're going to, it was a very good trade. We're going to bring in our guy, Mike Florio. I can't wait to talk to him about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. At least he's paying attention. We'll explain next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Rome if you want to.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
So we can't beat, beat!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy Mike Florio. And like all our guests, he's brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing well.
Living the dream. I was telling David, I had a great time Friday night watching the Tyson fight. I mean, the fight was disappointing, but I had a lot of fun. I watched the whole card, really, and I've got I had a stream going with a guy in England, a guy in Florida, a guy in Washington D.C., and a couple of us here in Chicago. We all had problems with the game, with the broadcast. We all were buffering. We were all over the world, for God's sake, and we were struggling with it. And I came away from it saying, what are they going to do on Christmas Day? They got a doubleheader. They got big games. How are they going to handle an NFL audience if they couldn't handle the 65 million worldwide viewers? And you wrote about it, so I think it's fascinating.
Oh, the whole thing really was a debacle, and I've been streaming for years now. I know when Amazon Prime first got the exclusive Thursday night package, at first it was a little sputtery, it was slow, but now when I watch a Thursday night game, the experience is no different than anything else I watch on any platform, streaming or otherwise. It's seamless, it's crisp, it's clear, it's clean. This was a nightmare. It was pixelated at times. You would get a clear picture for like a second and then it would get grainy. You'd get the buffering circle. At one point, my stream crashed, and that never happens on any of the other streaming platforms that I use. And people say, oh, your internet isn't good enough. Well, it never happens with anything else. My internet's good enough for everything else. I don't know why people are defending Netflix here. They have billions of dollars. They need to spend the money for the infrastructure to ensure that events like this work. When Peacock does games, it works. When Amazon does games, it works. They need to be sure this thing's ready. And it's good that it happened, that this is the canary in the coal mine for Netflix and the NFL. The fight was originally going to be in July. At least it's happening 6 weeks and change in advance of Christmas so they can redouble, retriple, re-quadruple their efforts to make sure that when it's time to watch two pretty impactful games on December 25, Steelers hosting the Chiefs and the Ravens at the Texans, that it'll be like watching it on any other channel. Those are the stakes. And the NFL, yes, they're standing behind Netflix. They have 150 million reasons to do so. But if I'm Roger Goodell, I'm burning up the phone line to the Netflix executives saying, you better get your act together. I almost said the other word. You better get your act together because I don't need this. I don't need this on Christmas Day worrying about whether or not our fans are going to be able to watch the games.
Mike, Tom Brady is getting better in the booth. He had a pretty good game, Bears-Packers, on Sunday at Soldier Field. Still going to be some undercurrents and maybe some rumors about his interest in maybe going to the Raiders and running that team because of his stake in ownership. What do you expect to happen there? Is that a possibility?
I think eventually at some point he'll stop broadcasting and go all in with the Raiders. I feel like that's what's going to happen. I think he'll get his fill of broadcasting. He'll get to the point where he's done it enough, and the competitive juices will draw him into a more regular role, because you can't do both to the best of your ability. It was a point that Miles Simmons of PFT made when we were talking about this a few weeks ago. Brady prides himself on being the absolute best at everything he does. It's impossible for him to be the best owner of the Raiders and the best broadcaster he can be. He can't even go to the games, for crying out loud. He's working games other than the Raiders the days the Raiders are playing. You can't be involved. You got limitations on what you can do as a broadcast. You got one hand tied behind your back. The whole thing is just strange to me. And I feel like the NFL tried to nudge him away from doing both. And it really is amazing to think that certain people reach a level of prestige and fame and money. They can just do whatever the hell they want. Even if you take a step back and you say, you probably shouldn't. And you wonder who the people are in the lives of the ultra wealthy and powerful, or even a position to say to them, Tom, you probably should just pick a lane here. You probably should just pick one or the other. You'll be happier, it'll be more effective, and it just makes more sense for everyone. And I think at one point he will pick a lane, and the lane will be Raiders ownership, because forget the $375 million over 10 years. He stands to make a lot more as a 10% owner of the Raiders, especially since he bought it at what ultimately was a sweetheart deal.
Michael, what are you going to do for Sunday's game? Who are you picking? Are you this is your childhood Vikings coming into Chicago to face the animal that is the Bears.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've been watching the Vikings games this year, along with all the other games that are on at the same time. And the one thing I've noticed about the Vikings, they are boring this year. They are sluggish. The offense is plodding. You know, early on, they were scoring a lot of points and then trying to hold on. Lately, it's been all defense. They screwed around with the Jaguars. They screwed around with the Titans. I think the Bears are going to beat them on Sunday. I haven't made my official pick yet, but I just feel like the Vikings are fugazi at 8-2. The Whoa. Bears are better than 4-6. And the Bears are embarking on a hell of a stretch. Vikings, Lions, 49ers, Vikings, Lions. The Bears, I think I was encouraged. We argued last week about the coordinator change. I was encouraged by the shift from Shane Waldron to Thomas Brown. When you hear the stuff from like Keenan Allen that Shane Waldron was too nice, football players want to be coached. They desperately want to be coached. It sounds like they weren't being coached aggressively. We saw a difference. Unfortunately, they didn't win. I think they're going to get their win this weekend.
Can't believe that.
You're the best, Mike. Thanks,
you,
buddy.
Mike. Wow.
See you guys.
That is Mike Florio. See, that's a true fan. If the worst thing can happen to your team, you figure it will. And if you say it, then you don't have to worry about having to deal with
it. I don't understand that pick, but
I told you.
You never know.
First to two, buddy.
I'll believe.
Halfway to four.
I'll believe that you believe that when you pick the Bears to beat the Vikings.
I'm capable of picking it.
Okay. We'll see.
Hey, we want to let you know, tune in at noon today. Bears linebacker T.J. Edwards will join Bernstein, Harris, and Rahimi for his weekly appearance. That's noon today on The Score and the Odyssey app. We are going to bring in Jared Payton. We'll talk to Jared about what's going on with the Bears, and well, maybe we'll get his pick for Wednesday as well. I'm sure he's on board for the big win. David's the only one that doesn't believe. I don't know how you fell out of love with the Bears. I don't know how you let this constant losing impact you like this.
My eyes work.
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.